John chapter 4, from verse 1 onwards. Please pray this prayer after me. Lord, open my eyes to see your truth. Lord, open my ears to hear your truth. Lord, open my mind to receive your truth. Lord, open my heart to keep your truth. Let me be a doer of your word and not a hearer only. Let me bring forth much fruit to the praise and glory of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Speak, Lord, I will listen and obey. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise be to God. John chapter 4 and from verse 1 onwards. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I will speak to you, am he." I'm going to stop right here as the Holy Spirit wants me to. We're going to go back to verse 1 again. And from verse 1, there are certain scriptures that the Spirit of the Lord is going to bring out. And as the Lord brings up, we're going to look at those scriptures and listen to what the Holy Spirit has, so that we can just take it in and live by it. So you see here where Jesus Christ is passing by this village where this Jacob's well is there. And we see that Jesus was very tired, and the Bible says that he was weary. He was so tired, and he just sat by the well. even though he was tired, he chose to sit by the well because there was this divine appointment that was going to take place. The Samaritan woman didn't know, but Jesus knew. Jesus knew that there's this plan of God that needs to take place. Now, a lot of times we can know, okay, this is what God wants me to do, but you won't know how to do it. And this is where you need the Spirit of God to give you the clear direction and the clear leading of the Holy Spirit. Like you look at Jesus Christ, there was no wasted in his conversation and there was no defeat in his conversation. You see, he was someone who operated under the power of God, under the anointing of God, where he spoke what he heard the Father speak. He did what he saw the Father do. That's how one he was with God while he was on earth. And so he was able to accomplish the exact plan of God, exactly the way it had to be accomplished. God is speaking to our hearts at this hour. Whatever God brings into your hands, it's important for you to take that and do it exactly the way God wants you to. In order for that to happen, you need to be in line with the will of God. That means you need to be one with the Spirit of God. He who is joined with God is one spirit with him, says God's word. And being joined with God, that means you are attached to him. That means you're not pulling yourself away from him, even for a second, that you are in him and he in you. And that happens by walking in obedience to the voice of God Almighty. Living in him by faith. Knowing this 24/7 that I am in him and he is in me. That's very important. It's a fact that every single believer should know and should be in that word. What is that word? I am in him and he is in me. In him we live, we move, and we have our being. So whatever we're doing must be in him and moved by him, moving in him and having our being in him. Even though we are human beings, being in God and operating through God, moving through us, is a whole different realm in itself. Now you see Jesus operating like that. He is operating through the power of God here by being one with God. And even though he was so tired, he is coming and he's sitting here. We see this in verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. He's so tired, but he's sitting there knowing that this is where he should sit. He could have sat anywhere. He's so tired. He could have stopped anywhere and he could have sat under any tree, but he chose to come and sit by that well, which was Jacob's well. He wanted to sit there because he knew that at this time, this woman was going to come, that the kingdom of God is going to be presented to her. And through her, many people are going to receive the kingdom of God. And so this is a very strategic move of God, where God sits there. God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is sitting there so tired. He can just lay down. He can just lay down and he can just go to sleep. He is so exhausted. His body needed that rest. But he knew this is the time. See, it's not like, you know, Jesus was, you know, when he had to sleep, he was up. And when he had to be up, he was sleeping. He was, somebody who was not organized and disordered. No. God is a God of order. But which order? Divine order. Sometimes people say, oh, God is a God of order. And, you know, they try to do their way of doing and call that God's order. No. God is a God of kingdom order. King's order. His order. And his order can only be followed by those who pattern themselves according to his divine principles. Those are people who will actually know his schedule and they'll follow. They know there's a time I need to do this. And while they're doing, the Spirit of God automatically will say, get up and leave. And they'll get up and leave right away. There's a time you have to be there. Stay as long as I tell you to. And they'll stay no matter how long it takes. Jesus was such a person. He was so tired. He didn't take a break somewhere earlier. He didn't say, I'm so tired because that I'm taking a break here. Or he didn't say that, oh, I have to stay up because today I'm going to be praying now when I have to be at this well. He knew that the time to pray when he had to go to the mountain to pray, the time to go and minister here, he had to minister there. Now he had to go from this place to this place, that he has to go through this place And as he goes through this place, even though he's tired, he's pushing himself to make it to that well, because God's appointment for him to meet with that woman was right at that well, because that's where she comes. You see, the love of God. How much love God has. That Jesus Christ, in spite of his tiredness, he pushed himself and he made it to that well. And he sat there just for that woman to come. What a loving God we have. Even though that woman was a woman who was rejected by so many people. You see the background here. She had 5 husbands. She could not have a stable marriage. She was not a stable woman. She couldn't hold a relationship. Now the person that she's with is a person who is not even a husband. I mean, nobody else wanted to have that contract with her. Very unstable. Though she was so unstable, Jesus knew that one encounter that she would have with him would make her into someone who's totally different. And that's what we were actually seeing a little while ago about different people that God has changed. There's a work of God. Different lives. Living a totally different life now. That's the work of God. So God saw this Samaritan woman far away. Though he was so weary, though he was so tired, he pushed himself to come to the well to meet with her. She didn't know she had an appointment with the Creator God. She didn't know. But he knew. He had to meet with her. You call that the mercy of God. We love him because he first loved us. She didn't know what that encounter was going to be. And she didn't know that he's going to be by that well. And she had no idea. But he knew. He sees your toil. He sees your needs. He sees your suffering. He sees your tears. And he sacrificed his all so that you can live. And through you, others can live. He took such an unstable woman and made her into such a powerful blessing. What a loving God we have. He didn't go to the community leader there. He didn't go to someone who was like really, really, really doing good. And he didn't say that, okay, you are influential. I'm going to get to you so that I can get to the people here. No, no, no. There's how God works. He takes broken lives and he changes them into something so glorious. It's a miracle when you see. People even would listen to this unstable woman when she goes and calls them to come and see him, that they would leave everything and come see Jesus. Look at the transformation that took place. Look at the miracle working power of God that changed her in such a short time when she was able to go back to her people. And they all listened to her. The very same power that caused her to listen to the voice of God is now working in her to make her talk and have people listen to her so that they can all listen to the source, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. God is speaking to us today. No matter where you are, no matter what you've been doing, no matter how you've been living, God says, the God of this Samaritan woman, the Lord Jesus Christ, he sees you. He wants to touch you. He wants to change you. He wants to make you into somebody totally different. That means no resemblance of the old person. Completely new. Brand new. Very different. No more of that instability. Now it's the force of God that is captivating the hearts of people to bring them to the main source, the Lord Jesus Christ. God is speaking at this hour. The love of God that God has for you. You have no knowledge of, just like this Samaritan woman. She had no knowledge of to what extent God loved her. First husband gone, second husband gone, third husband gone, fourth husband gone, fifth husband gone. All these people are gone. Nobody wanted to live with her. She couldn't live with anybody. she was not easy to live with. She couldn't maintain a home. You know, a lot of times women try to keep the home. She didn't have that. She was somebody who was very much messed up. And now she has this person who she is living with. That man doesn't even want to marry her. She's someone who's just sticking with someone just to live. You know how a lot of people try to use somebody because they have nobody? It's a very bad place to be in. Nobody should be living such a life. God has big things planned for every single one. She didn't know that. She had some knowledge about Jacob. She had some knowledge about the Jews. She had some knowledge about God, and she thought that she knew a lot. It is a problem when you know little and you think you know a lot. But God comes to such people and he says, I want to really show you what the truth is. You have bits and pieces here, and that's not even good enough to be put together, to even make a part of a puzzle. No, it's all disjointed. But I want to come and give you this picture, this perfect picture, where you can actually see the perfection of God's love and be drawn to that love, and in turn be captivated by that love and be filled with that love. And now you run with that love for the people. You say, my people have to know, my people have to know, my people have to know that the Messiah is here. My people must know. How did she get that? How did she get that burden? How did she get that love? How did she get this compassion? How did she get the desire that what she knew of must be shared with the rest of her people? A woman who was so dysfunctional. A woman who was so unstable. A woman who couldn't even do anything right by her society, society standards, and by the standards of the people. She was someone who was really unstable. She's not like someone who was married and had children and had a family and who had relatives, and she was just the keeper of her home and everything. She was not like the Proverbs 31. She was opposite to that. God came for her. Jesus Christ, so tired and weary, came for that woman who was so dysfunctional. He came for that one woman who was so dysfunctional. You're going to see dysfunction all over her. Was not capable of doing anything right. Was merely existing. She said, I got to get up today. I got to cook. I got to go get water. And I got to do this because I got to stay alive. But she was dead on the inside. Jesus came for her. Even before Jesus could go on the cross and die, he was dying dearly for the people that he so loved dearly. And the Samaritan woman was one such person. Jesus valued women. Jesus valued women who were not Jewish. Anywhere God sees faith, anywhere God sees people who are broken, but he knows that their lives can be changed, God will come to them. He saw her brokenness. He also saw that he could change her life. And so he sacrificed his comfort, and he took the pain upon his body. Weary, hungry, thirsty, sleep deprived, tired from ministering and walking and pouring out physically. No food. Thirsty. Exhausted. The disciples went to get food, but he stayed without eating so that this woman's life could be changed. You call that love. Divine love. God's love. God's unique love. God's special love. And God says, I love you with the very same love. And you see, this woman's life was never the same after that. So, you see her coming, and you see Jesus there. You see how she talked and how Jesus talked. very different. If you would have evangelized, you know, how it would have been, very different. Very different than the Lord Jesus Christ. You thought, I need to tell her something. I need to get her saved. You'd have told her, listen, the way you're living is not right. And you've had 5 husbands and you better repent right away. And the one you're living with, no good. If you die today, you're going to go to hell. And you need Jesus Christ. Do you know about the Messiah? By the way, he's just in the neighboring towns and you need to get there. And if you don't, I can't help you. You need to do it now. Now you look at Jesus Christ, his approach was completely different. He reached out to her, not by human means, but by divine means. Now Jesus Christ is here. He talked to her and he didn't tell her, what religion are you? And which household are you from? What language do you speak? And when was the last time you prayed? Do you know God Almighty? Do you know about the 10 plagues? None of those things. You don't see Jesus Christ talking anything spiritual at this point. You don't see Jesus Christ. Jesus is talking to her in ordinary terms. But there is this divine work of God that is happening. He's not talking religion there. He didn't ask, are you religious? Nothing. He didn't ask, do you know about the Torah? Nothing. He says, give me a drink. He's sitting by the well. She's coming to get water. Now you look at this. You see a parallel here. Where Prophet Elijah going to the widow of Zarephath. He's going to the widow of Zarephath and he's asking her something. What is he asking? He's asking her to give him bread that she had, that she was going to make. He said, give me water. He said, give me bread. And she said, this while I have, after this I have no more. But I will give you. And she went and she did something that she was told to do. It was not because Elijah was in need. No. It was because God was going to reveal himself to the widow of Zarephath. And God was going to keep her alive and God was going to prosper her. The blessing was coming to her through the blesser, the prophet of God who was sent to the widow of Zarephath. Anytime we give to God or give to God through the servants of God, it is for God to bless you and expand you. That's how it works. It's not because you have to, but because God wants to bless you. And so you see here when Jesus says, give me a drink, not because, you know, if she doesn't give him a drink that he's going to be thirsty and he is in need. No, he was not in need. She was in need, but it was something that God is initiating so that she can be blessed. You look at Eliezer. Eliezer was there by the well, and he was asking Rebecca for water for himself and for his camel. For himself and for his camels. And when you look at it, it's not because Eliezer was in need, but it was a move of the Holy Spirit in order to bless Rebecca and to call, bless her and to bring her into the call of God that God has for her. So it's a move of the Holy Spirit. Anytime God moves somebody to do something, it's for God to bless them and for God to do something big in their lives. And that's what happened to the widow of Zarephath. When she gave to this prophet of God a little bit, this miracle that took place in her home, all her relatives who were part of her household, they all were fed in the famine time when all of them would have been dead. God came through in a powerful way. God wanted to bless her. So you see Elijah there, go to the Zarephath widow, widow of Zarephath, saying that, give me a drink. And you see Jesus here, give me a drink. And you see Eliezer there, give me a drink. Now, these things are there in the Bible, so you need to know that anytime the Spirit of God comes to you, prompts you and speaks to you to do something for God, it is not because He is the need, it's because He wants to bless you. That's the main reason why the Holy Spirit will move to stay, because it's the time where God wants to bless you. So now Jesus here, He says, give me a drink. For His disciple had gone away into the city to buy food. Nobody was there. That's recorded here. It's just Jesus by Himself. Then the woman of Samaria said to Him, how is it you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And she's thinking, we have rules here. He is a Jew and I am a Samaritan. And He's asking me to give Him water. They don't do that. This is something strange here. This is something different here. And so she's asking Him that question. Usually you guys don't do this, and you're doing this, and so what's up? Now Jesus is answering her this. The question that she's asking, I am puzzled. I don't know. What is this? Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked Him and He would have given you living water. How beautiful this. Now Jesus saying something totally beyond what she could understand or even she had any concept of. She had no knowledge of living water. He's introducing something new here. He talked about water. He was by the well. And he asked her water. He's basically saying, oh, I didn't ask you because I was in need. There's a prompt so that I can bless you. And so he is telling her this. If you knew the gift of God, if you'd have known this, but this he's saying, you don't know. I'm here to give you something. And who it is who says to you, don't know who's asking from you. Because He wants to bless you. He wants to give you. If you'd only know, if you can only understand, if you only have an idea of what this is, who is in front of you, you're going to say, Lord, I see you have more than what I can offer. And God says, I can give you. Now this introduction to this living water that she had no knowledge of, she had no knowledge of it. He's saying, I'm here to give you living water. And this is this tired Jesus. He's waiting to bless her. You called it sacrifice. Jesus Christ gave Himself so that you can live, so that I can live. He says, I want to give you this living water. I want to bless you. I want to make you a blessing. That's what He said in short. This living water that she didn't know of, it's a water that will bless her and make her into a blessing. Blessing her and making her into a blessing was Christ's goal for that Samaritan woman. And that is the goal of Christ for each one of you here. To bless you and to make you a blessing. If you can only understand what God has for you, if you can only understand what God is doing in our midst, if you can only understand what God is doing at this hour so that you can be blessed and you can become a blessing, and you are going to be in a position where you'll say, Lord, give me. I want it. And you will stay there. God is speaking at this hour. She had no knowledge of it. She didn't know who Jesus was. And she didn't know what He had. You need to know who God is and what He has. You need to know who God is and what He has. You need to know as you come to this house of God. What God has in this house of God is something that you need to know. The treasures that God has and the treasures that God distributes and what God has and what God wants to give. Through the servants of God, God has placed. You need to have that understanding. I need to know. so that I can receive. If you would know that, then you are going to be someone who will be receiving that. God is speaking at this hour. Now, after Jesus said, you don't know who you're talking to, not in a way that you'll get upset, but in a loving way. You just know who is talking to you and what he has and what he can give to you. You can ask. What did he do? He prompted her to ask. That's how Jesus is. Like I said, he didn't go and tell her. Well, even though Jesus knew about her, even though Jesus already knew about her life, he didn't go and tell, I'm here to convict you. I'm here to tell you that you did 100 things wrong and you need to get your life right. And he didn't speak any of those things. He is revealing to her his love and what was conveyed to her through the conversation he had with her. Jesus cares for you. I'm here to give you. I care about you. Yes, you are a Samaritan. Doesn't matter. I'm here for you. Oh, the Jews have no dealings with Samaritan, but I'm not an ordinary Jew. That's what Jesus was saying here. I am here to meet your need. No one was able to meet. The five husbands before, they couldn't do a thing. The guy who's now with you, he can't do a thing. You're miserable, but I am here to meet your innermost need. This is why you're the way you are, because your innermost need has not been met and you're so dysfunctional. But I'm here to meet that need. Jesus said, I care about you. You saw all the people who didn't care. But now I want you to know that I care about you. He said, I know that you need water. You need living water. You need to be blessed and you need to become a blessing. You've been looked at by others as if you have a curse on yourself, which she did. And you were living a life that was like a stench people saw. God said, I'm here to make you into that sweet fragrance, to bless you and make you a blessing. And like the fragrance, it's so sweet. The perfume is so good. That it's a blessing. It's being blessed because it has those qualities that makes it such a powerful perfume. And then you have others who are blessed by that perfume. They all say, I want to use this. Becoming a blessing comes from being blessed by the blesser. And the blesser was standing in front of her and he said, I want to bless you because I care about you. I see you through and through. I want to bless you and I want to make you a blessing. And so she says, the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get the living water? She couldn't make that connection that he's not talking about this water. I mean, if he's talking about this water, he's not going to call it living water. It's just water. Water from Jacob's well. This is not living water. But she could not. Her inner eyes were closed. Up until this point, the inner eyes are closed. You see that? You see the progression. The conversation Jesus had and how the Spirit of God is speaking to her to unlock her heart, to unlock her eyes, to unlock the mind of her understanding. Step by step, the Spirit of God is moving. The first step is to show that Jesus cares. Anytime you tell the gospel to people, that's what you want to know. That's what they need to hear. That's what God wants you to convey is Jesus cares. Jesus loves you. Jesus cares. Jesus loves you. Jesus cares for you. Jesus loves you. Jesus cares for you. Very important. Very important. It's very important. She is bringing up that he is a Jew and she is a Samaritan, but did Jesus bring that up? No. It's irrelevant. So when it comes to talking to people about Jesus Christ, do not bring up their religion. Don't do that. Don't ask anyone, are you a Muslim, are you a Hindu, are you a Catholic, or it doesn't matter. God sees a person's heart, a human being and a heart. That's what God sees. It's a heart that is longing for true love and true meaning. That's what God sees. So when it comes to giving the gospel to people, person's language, their ethnicity, their religion does not matter. Doesn't even come into equation here. God is looking at the hearts of the people. That's something that the Spirit of the Lord led me all through my years in Christ of ministering from the age of 10 till now. There wasn't a single time where God had me speak to people on religion, on language, or on, you know, their nationality, or none of those things. God will go straight to a person's heart by showing how much God cares for them. The love of God is stronger than anything else. When people experience that love of God, when they experience that compassion, when they know that God cares and you care, that brings down the defense wall. Trust that comes down. Now she knows that I can talk to Jesus. He didn't say anything about Jews. He didn't say anything about Samaritans. It doesn't even face him. It shouldn't face us. Who cares who's from what religion? Every single person is a human being made in the image of God. They need to know that God cares for them. When that is removed, the first defense is gone. Because any time you mention anything other than what you have to, it's going to put a wall right there that's not even there. It's going to make it even harder for the word to penetrate to them. So you look at Jesus Christ, he didn't talk about any of those things, and he just went straight to her heart, saying that, I have something to give you. And she didn't understand, she didn't get it. He's talking about living waters, and she is talking about regular water. Now Jesus didn't say, oh my God, she's not getting it, no. He's there to make her get it. You see the compassion? You see the love? He's not frustrated with her. He's there to make her get it. That's what God does. It's called love. He wants to make sure that she gets it. And God is here to tell you that. He is here to make sure that you get it. He wants you to get it. He wants you to understand how much God loves you. God wants you to understand how much God cares about you. Jesus wants you to understand how much Jesus loves you and how much Jesus cares for you. Doesn't matter what religion you may be in. Doesn't matter which background you're in. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter at all. One encounter with the living God is what matters. That's what matters. You bring them to the presence of God. You connect them with the living waters, and that's it. Their lives are forever changed. Doesn't matter to God what the background is. It's totally irrelevant because he transcends everything. We just need people to connect with him. They need to know Jesus. That's all. They need to know his power. They need to know his love. They need to know him. That's what matters. Now Jesus, he is not talking about Jewish laws over here. He's not talking about none of those things. He's talking to her about living water. He's talking about what he can offer. That's what testimonies does. If you can talk about how good our God is and how powerful he is now, how good he is. Oh, talk of all his wonders to all those who need to experience wonders of God in their own lives. That's what he did. He said, this is what I have. I can give it to you. And she says, well, you don't have a bucket and you don't have this and you don't have that. So all she's telling is, you're saying that you're going to give me. She missed out that living part. She's saying that, oh, water, living water is the same. You need revelation to understand what God can offer. Most people won't. Unless God opens the eyes of understanding, no one will. So at this point, her eyes of understanding, they're closed. So Jesus is going to unlock that. That's the next step. So you see Jesus Christ over here when she says, are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water, now he's not talking about Jacob and he's not talking about Jacob's livestock. He's not talking about any of those things. She said all these things, but now he is on to what he can offer. He's talking about his product. That's what evangelism is. You talk about the wonders of Jesus, how good he is and what Jesus can do and how powerful he is. That's what is necessary for people to hear. That he is trustworthy, he is all powerful, he loves me and he cares for me. He can heal, he can deliver, he can transform my life. You need to just get them connected to that living waters. Once the living water goes in, everything begins to change. The problem is a lot of times people try to change people. while giving the gospel, they want to change people. That comes from the Holy Spirit. Opening the eyes of understanding comes from the Holy Spirit. But in order for that to happen, you need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Jesus had the power to unlock. So he is here, he said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Now, so beautifully, he's talking to this woman. She didn't get it. She's thinking that the living waters is like the regular waters. And she's telling Jesus, you don't have, you're saying that you can give something, but I don't see you carry anything. Now, Jesus is differentiating in front of her. Water from living waters. He said, I didn't talk about regular water. I'm talking about something different. Something that you don't know of. For that, you don't need a bucket. For that, you don't need a physical well. I can give it to you. And now he is opening her eyes of understanding here. Jesus answered and said to her, Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. This is very important. It's a very important scripture. I want you to pay close attention to what the Spirit of God is saying at this hour. Jesus says, you see that water? That water will make you thirsty. But the water that I am about to give you, he's talking who the giver is. He's saying, I'm going to give you something. And when I give to you, that's going to go straight into you. It's going to get into you. He says, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. What I'm going to give you will get straight into you. Now, it's not something he says that I'm going to override your will. I'm just going to pour on top of you, even if you don't want it. No, you have to receive it. When you receive it, it is going to go into you. When it goes into you, you're never going to be thirsty again. So, it's going to cause this water to do something inside permanently. God is speaking at this hour. The water that God gives is going to do something permanently on the inside. That means the void that was there, the lack that was there. It's going to do something inside where suddenly the thirst that was there, the void that was there, the gap that was there, the yearning that was there, whatever was missing is no longer missing because the power of God went inside. The living waters went inside. That's what the living water does. He says, you know the water that you have over here? You have to drink and you have to keep drinking and keep drinking and keep drinking. But the water that I give you, it'll go inside of you. It'll take away that which is missing and it also do something else to you. This is very important now here. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. He says, this is going to do something. This is going to not only take away that missing thing from you, but it is actually going to make you into someone who will cause you to give that water to other people so that it'll take away that which is missing from their lives also. So, they won't thirst. God is speaking to our heart. Every soul has this yearning on the inside. The thirst. There are some people who are thirsty, who are saying, I'm thirsty, I'm thirsty, I'm thirsty. And you know, others, they're very thirsty and they didn't get that water. Now they have gone into the stage where they are in a spiritual coma. Where there's no water, they are spiritually dead, spiritual coma. Those people, they won't even know that they need anything. And you need the resurrection power of God to come and wake them up. And then they wake up and they say, oh, I'm thirsty. And that time you give water. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. There are different stages when it comes to salvation, where the resurrection power of God will work. There are some people who will know the thirst. I need God. I need God. I need God. There are other people who say, I don't need God. They're in a spiritual coma. Because the thirst has gone to such a height where they had no water. They are spiritually dead. The Spirit of God has to come and wake them up. No matter where anyone is, this living water that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ is able to raise them up. Out of that coma, out of that death, out of that thirst, fill them up so that it can come up out of them. That means they're full. They're so full. It's like a pot that's so full and it's overflowing now. Because it's overflowing, others who need, they can also bring their pots, their little ones, and they can also receive that living water. What a beautiful picture it is. What a beautiful sight it is. This is how God works. He showed her his love and he said, I can meet your need. I can cause you to become someone who can actually meet the needs of others. No longer a burden, but a blessing. God is speaking at this hour. God wants to change you from being a burden to becoming a blessing. God is speaking at this hour. Pay close attention to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. God wants to change you into a person who will become a blessing, from being a burden to becoming a blessing. Being a burden to becoming a blessing. From being a burden to becoming a blessing. God is speaking at this hour. If you want to become a blessing, you need Jesus Christ in your life. You need this living waters in your life. You need to receive that which God has for you in your life. Everybody has a different level of need. And according to your need, you are going to come to God at this hour. I'm going to stop right here as the Holy Spirit wants me to. But you want to pay close attention to what God is speaking. Wherever you are, whatever place you are. From being a burden to becoming a blessing. God wants to do that in your life. God wants to give that transformation from being a burden to becoming a blessing. Jesus Christ is here. The very same Jesus Christ who stood in front of the Samaritan woman is right here at this hour. As we close our eyes and look to the Lord God who blessed this Samaritan woman, by giving him his life to her, so that she can become a blessing to those around her. So far she was a burden, but suddenly she became a blessing. Suddenly she became a blessing. God wants to make you into a blessing. From being a burden to a blessing. Many times you can feel like you're a burden to yourself. God says all that will go. All that will go. When the power of God resides inside of you, you will become a blessing to others. God is speaking at this hour. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You tell the Lord at this hour, Lord, I want to be a blessing in your kingdom. I don't want to be a burden. Lord, I want to be someone who will bring joy to you, Lord. Let me be found by you, Lord, faithful and true to you, set apart unto you, wholly devoted to you. Let me bring joy to you. Let me be found by you. Found by you, Lord, the eyes of the Lord. Let me be found by the eyes of the Lord. God is here at this hour. God wants you to be happy. God wants to make you happy. God wants to take the burden off of you. And God wants you to make others happy. And that's why God is here. God wants you to bring joy to his heart by bringing joy to those who are brokenhearted. God wants you to bring healing to those who are wounded. You need to have that first. Your heart needs to be repaired. Your heart needs to be filled. You need to have that overflow of the living waters. You need to receive from God. God wants to make you happy. God wants you to be happy. God wants you to experience that overflow. God wants you to have that joy that comes from God. You can't give joy if you can't keep joy. If you can't give joy, if you don't have joy. God says, I want to give you so that you can have that which you need to have in order to give to others. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus cares for you. Jesus loves you. Jesus wants to bless you. When Jesus Christ touched her heart and she knew how much God cared and she knew who he was and she had an encounter with the power of God, she knew that he was a prophet of God. And she knew that she was given this opportunity by the Savior himself to hear from his mouth that he is the Messiah. Oh, her life was changed. Her life was changed. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Faith began to arise the more and more the word of God went into her from the mouth of Jesus Christ. Oh, it started dispelling the darkness there. It started unveiling her eyes of understanding. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ caused her to long for that living waters. Ask for that living waters. And receive that living waters. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Ask for that living water. Long for the living water. Receive the living water. Hallelujah. It'll bubble out of you. It'll bubble out of you. That's what happened to her. It bubbled out of her and she ran and she called all of them over there and she said, all come and see, come and see, come and see, come and see. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, that's a byproduct. That's the living waters that went into her. Hallelujah. Tell the Lord at this hour, Lord, let me have your spirit to serve you. Let me have your spirit to serve you. Hallelujah. Let me have your spirit to serve you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. More of you, more of you, more of you, Jesus. Hallelujah. More of you, Jesus. More of you, Jesus. More of you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this time. There are people like the rich young ruler who will reject by their choice. But there will be people like the Samaritan woman who will be touched by the words of God, will receive that living water and will bring multitudes to this living water. God wants to change you into that. God wants to change you into that. You tell the Lord just like how she told Jesus, Lord, give me this living water. Tell the Lord, give me this living water. Hallelujah. Fill me with your living water. Fill me with your living water. Oh, Lord. Tell the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let there be a transformation taking place at this hour in the hearts of your people. Let there be a transformation taking place in the hearts of your people at this hour. Oh, Holy Spirit, flow. Touch every heart, touch every mind, touch every body at this hour. Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, may the power of the Almighty God touch your people. In the name of Jesus, every bondage be broken in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, every foul spirit, every oppressing spirit, every demon that is holding your people down. Oh, in the name of Jesus, I command them to leave right now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, oh, may revelation abound in the hearts of your people. In the name of Jesus, in the spirits of your people. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, may the living waters from the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, flow into the spirits of your people at this hour. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Raise them up to new heights. Raise them up to new heights. Raise them up to new heights, Father. Make your people effective soul winners for the Lord Jesus Christ. That many who are thirsty and many who are in coma because of this lack of this living water may be touched by your people here through the power of God. Oh, work in your people, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. May each one have a deeper encounter with this living water this night. Thank you, Lord. As your servant standing in the presence of God, before the throne of God, according to the power and authority given to me by the Almighty God, I bless your people at this hour. With this living water that you alone can bless them with. that they may rise up to bring many to this living water. I thank you for doing this. In Jesus' most precious name, I pray. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon us and bless us with his peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, may the love of God the Father, and the sweet fellowship of his Holy Spirit rest and remain with us all, now and until we see Jesus face to face. Amen.